on Parakuf Yud Ches, chapter 118, and the title of tonight's shir is Way Down Deep. This is the last of the series of chapters we've been learning about that comprise Hallel. It's a mitzvah, Medrabonin. It's a mitzvah instituted by Chazal to say Hallel, to commemorate miracles that Hashem did for us. We say Hallel on holidays when the Tzibur, when the community davens together to commemorate the miracles that Hashem did for us. Levim saying Hallel while people brought their Korban Pesach. We make a bracha on Hallel, even though on Rosh Chodesh we also say Hallel, but saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh was not instituted by Chazal, but rather it was a custom that arose from amongst the people. So to this day, Sephardim do not make a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, but they do it every other time we say Hallel, because Chazal never instituted to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, but the people, out of a love for Rosh Chodesh, began saying Hallel, and it was a minhag that arose from the people. But we have an obligation. Every person has an obligation to say Hallel on the anniversary of any miraculous salvation, which is one of the reasons why on the Pesach Seder coming up, we will all say Hallel at the Seder. Now, we say Hallel in Shul, in Davening, so it seems superfluous to say Hallel once again at the Seder. However, since by Pesach, one is required to see oneself as if you came out of Mitzrayim, and had you come out of Mitzrayim, you would have been required to say Hallel. Therefore, we say Hallel at the Pesach Seder, because it's as if we came out of Mitzrayim. In fact, this Hallel, this series of chapters that are comprised Hallel, are called in the Talmud Hallel HaMitzri, the Egyptian Hallel, because Hashem saved us in Tzitz Mitzrayim, and that was the first Geula, the first miraculous salvation at which we were obligated to say Hallel. Now, this particular kapitel, chapter 118, David HaMelech wrote when he finally became Melech of all of Klal Yisrael after Shaul HaMelech was Nifter. And David was imagining all the things that he could do for his people. And he was full of hope and ideas and ambitions and dreams about what he was going to accomplish as Melech. It's also about the final Geula of Klal Yisrael, when we will be restored to our former glory. And we'll see what that means as we go. Every pasuk in this kapitel is loaded with multiple meanings. We could spend, many, many hours on this kapitel, because every pasuk is just loaded with alternate meanings. So we're going to end up skimming a little bit, and you may see elsewhere other explanations of some of these pasukim, all of which are perfectly valid. I just didn't bring them because, in the interest of time, we're going to hit the highlights, as they say. So let's start where these pages, they're two-sided. I have a two-sided working. Pasuk 1, once again, I hate to use this phrase, but it's a famous pasuk. Hodi LaHashem ki tov, ki le'olam chasdeh. Give thanks to Hashem because He's good, and His goodness, His kindness, last forever. So, Hodi LaHashem ki, what are we giving thanks to Hashem for in this verse? The answer is nothing and everything. There's nothing specific. Hodi LaHashem ki tov, ki le'olam chasdeh is not written as thanks for a specific thing that Hashem did, but rather for everything that Hashem does in general. It's an all-purpose pasuk, if you will. It fits that everything Hashem does is good, so we should just have to say, Hodu LaHashem ki tov. But ki le'olam chasdo, because forever is His chesed, is almost like a reminder to us. You know, when you see something that you think of as good, Hodu LaHashem ki tov, that's great, look what Hashem did. You have to remember that ki le'olam chasdo, everything Hashem does every minute is Hodu LaHashem ki tov. It's great. We don't always see that. That's not always so apparent. But so the rest of the verse, Hodu LaHashem ki tov, give thanks to Hashem for everything He does is good. Ki le'olam chasdo, and forever, always, everything He does is good. Not just whatever we're talking about right now. So then David HaMelech isolates three groups of people that especially have to remember ki le'olam chasdo. He says, Yomer na Yisroel. Yisroel, be sure you say ki le'olam chasdo. So that's the explanation that I just said. It's easy to see when something is good, but it's hard to always remember that everything that happens, no matter what, is always for the good. very difficult thing to do. He says, Yisrael, you need to remember that. He's speaking to all of the Jewish people. And then he says in verse 3, and you know who else? Yomer na ves Aaron, the Kohanim and the Levim. You need to remember Kili Oilem Chasto, extra. Because you have extra suffering. You have no base of Mikdash. You can't do that which you were appointed to do. It would be natural for you to feel disappointed that Hashem, okay, fine, everything Hashem did, does on a day-to-day basis for all the Jewish people is good, but oy, woe unto us, it's not so good, we don't have our base of Mikdash. Let's have an Amalek, base our own, remember, Kili Olam Chasta. Everything Hashem does is really good. And then he says, Yomer Na Yirei Hashem, Kili Olam Chasta. The Yirei Hashem, people who fear Hashem, have to also say Kili Olam Chasta. Now, of all the people, I would have said, that we probably don't need. People who are Yirei Hashem probably already have this idea down. So, he's not exactly using the word Yirei Hashem in the way we've used him in the past as someone who is a learned, God-fearing person. He's using it with a slight extra touch to it that Yirei Hashem, people who fear Hashem, they also have to fear people. Everybody fears other people. People who are Yirei Hashem, they shouldn't fear anybody else. They should only fear Hashem. So he's saying, if you're Yirei Hashem, if you fear Hashem, remember not to fear anybody else's will as well. Why? Because Hashem's chesed is forever. You don't have to fear anybody else. You've gotten to the madrega, to the level in life where you fear Hashem. And we've talked about how that's a tremendous madrega of spiritual accomplishments, but remember not to fear anybody else. You don't fear Hashem and fear people. Correct. Because Hashem's chesed is forever. He goes on to say, Mina Meitzer ka rasika anani b'merchav ka. From the straits, from the dire straits, I called to Hashem. Hashem answered me from the vast expanse. This pasuk is saying, from the depths of utter anguish, I called out to Hashem, and Hashem answered me in every way imaginable. You could probably take this pasuk and put it in every single chapter of Tehillim, and it would be appropriate. This is not just a pasuk in Tehillim, this is a fundamental, and not only a fundamental concept, but a fundamental occurrence on a day-to-day, month-to-month, year-to-year, century-to-century basis, both as individual people and as an entire group of Jews. Mina Meitzer Karasika. From the desperate depths, I've called out to Hashem, Anani b'merkav ka, and he answered me in every way imaginable. David HaMelech, was lying in caves, hiding from Shaul HaMelech. Mina Meitzer, he literally, from the depths of caves, was calling out to Hashem. Anani b'merkav ka, Hashem answered me in every way imaginable, says David HaMelech. Philosophical notes. When you call out to Hashem from desperate straits, that usually means things are pretty desperate. Yet Hashem answers you, always gives you something in return for your desperation. David HaMelech, when he suffered all kinds of punishments after the Maaseh with Bathsheba, he also got Shlomo HaMelech. From that, Hashem gave him the son that would rule in his place and would build the base of Mikdash. From his desperate tefillos from the Maaseh with Bathsheba, Hashem gave him something from what he was crying about and gave him a reward of Shlomo HaMelech. Bathsheba, after that Maaseh, we don't talk about Bathsheba too much because this is the life of David HaMelech, but Bathsheba was shunned by her entire family. No one would have anything to do with her. The woman was an outcast. She had a son that built a base of Mikdash. Why? Mina Meitzer Karasika. From the depths of utter anguish, I called to Hashem. Hashem answered me in every way possible and gave me a son, Shlomo HaMelech. David HaMelech, one of the first times that Shaul came after him, Shaul sent people to kill David. And David was hiding, and I think we might have mentioned this story before, but it's a famous story in Navi Shmuel. He had to sneak out the window of the house because Shaul ordered his men not to kill him until the next morning. I don't know if we have time to really go into it, but he had to sneak out the window And he had to run away and sneak out in the middle of the night. He's supposed to be the king. Where did he go to hide? He went to Shmuel Anavi's house. What did he do when he got there? They discovered where the plans were for the Beis HaMikdash. Min HaMetzar Karasiya, when you call to Hashem from the straits of desperation, Anani B'merchavka, Hashem gives you an answer you couldn't even have imagined. David HaMelech wanted to get out of there and not be killed. That's what he was davening for. Hashem answered him by giving him the location of the plans of the Beis HaMikdash. Bathsheba just wanted someone in her family to talk to her again. She was persona non grata. No one had anything to do with her. The one who brought down David HaMelech. Not exactly what you ought to consider. It seems not like a big accomplishment. Imagine being labeled as the woman who brought down the tzaddik who was going to lead us into the final geula, except you brought him down. She called to Hashem. All she wanted was some normality back to her life. Hashem gave her Shlomo HaMelech. When you call Hashem from the straits of desperation, He answers you with things beyond your imagination. In the next pasuk in pasuk Vav, it says, Hashem li lo ira ma yasi ledo. Hashem is for me, I shall not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? Where do we start? Man can do a whole lot of terrible things. This seems to be a beautiful sentiment, but maybe a little detached from reality. What can man do to me? Man can do an awful lot.
Man can do everything.
So David, everything has to be taken on a scale. This is Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the most humble of men. How is that possible? He gets up in the morning, he goes to the Ohel Moed, and he talks to God. Most of us don't do that. It's an experience no one else will ever have in all of history of the world. No one will ever have an experience like Moshe Rabbeinu, yet he remained the most humble person. How's that possible? It's possible because he put it in context. Yes, I get to talk to Hashem, but I see how compared to Hashem, I'm a little nothing. The David HaMelech is saying, if you understand the scale of what Hashem can do, then anything that man can do is nothing. Hashem li b'Israel, Hashem is for me with my helpers. Ve'ani ere b'sonai. And I shall seek revenge, I see revenge in my enemies. So helpers are people that Hashem sends to help you. What is an example of a person that Hashem sends to help you? A doctor. You go to seek a doctor, a treatment for an illness, and the doctor, quote unquote, cures you. The doctor didn't really cure you. The doctor is the Ozra. The doctor are the people that Hashem sends to help us to the way the world works. And I shall see revenge, I shall see, and I shall face my foes. David's foes are people who abandoned Hashem. Interesting, the Telzer Rav says that from here we have the famous saying that a person is known by their enemies. That if your enemies are tzaddikim, you're probably in trouble. If your enemies are wicked people who have abandoned Hashem, that could say something good about you. So says David HaMelech, I see my enemies. I see who my enemies are. Verse 7, I see who my enemies are. And you know what? My enemies are people that have abandoned Hashem. So it could be I'm on the right track. Tov lecha sos b'Hashem mitboach b'adam. It's better to take shelter in Hashem than to trust in man. How does one lachsos is to take refuge, like to hide behind something, to hide behind a tree or under a rock, or something like that. That's lachsos. Mitboach is to trust, like the avtacha, betachon in Hashem. So how does one take refuge in Hashem? How does one hide behind? I understand trusting in Hashem. It's better to trust in Hashem because Hashem will never let you down, whereas people will tell you something and may or may not do it. But what does it mean? It's better to take shelter. How does one take shelter in Hashem? One takes shelter in Hashem's promises. Hashem has promised to protect us. That's all the protection and shelter that we need. Even, says David HaMelech, in the next verse, verse 9, Tov lach asos b'Hashem mitboach b'nevi'im. It's even better to trust in Hashem even than in nobles. So if you want to say, well, you know what, people are unreliable. But we, if you have the protection of a king or a prince or a nobleman, so that's a pretty reliable thing. If a king puts the Jewish people of his country under his protection, so you can trust in that, right?
Is David
HaMelech? No. It's even Midbar v'Nevim, even Nedivim, you can't trust it. Kol goyim savavuni b'shem Hashem ki amil. All the nations surrounded me. Now the next few verses are talking about both David and Klal Yisrael looking back at the time of Geula, at the time of the coming of Mashiach, us looking back on our experience of getting to that point. That's the viewpoint that these pesukim were written from. Us looking back, and David HaMelech looking back on what happened to him. And he says, Kol goyim savavuni b'shem Hashem ki amil. All the nations surrounded me. In the name of Hashem, I cut them off. So he's talking about when he was in the court of the king Achish, and he was hiding, and he was discovered, and he pretended to be insane. So he was the only Jew around. Everybody else was against him. They all were literally surrounded him. No matter what direction he would walk, he would be walking into enemies, cut them right off. Hashem took care of the whole thing. Looking back in Jewish history, I don't even know where to start to list the times that it looked like we were surrounded and had no way out, and all of a sudden there was a way out. But it gets even more complicated because David HaMelech said, "Bavuni, gam savavuni, b'shem Hashem kemel." They encircled me. They surrounded me. In the name of Hashem, cut them off. So now they've encircled three times. In verse 10, all the nations surrounded me, I cut them off. They encircled me. Yes, they really encircled me. And in the name of Hashem, I cut them off. Okay, it's a lot of encircling already. They've been encircled three times in two verses. So looking back on history, Sanherib, when he came to destroy the first base of Mikdash, and we were miraculously saved. He tried to come up to Yerushalayim three times. And each time we were surrounded, and each time he failed. Sanherib, when he came to attack Yerushalayim, came up to try and attack Yerushalayim three times. Each time he failed, until the final time when there was a nace and all of his army was killed. Chazal tell us that everything that happens in the past is a layout, is a design for what will happen in the future. Say, Chazal, when the war of Gog and Magog comes, they'll come against us three times. I'm not sure exactly what that means. But the point is that David HaMelech is saying, look, every time they come against us, they don't just come and surround us. They surround us, and they try again, and they try again. The nations come, and they try three times even. But every time they try, cut them off. And then he says in Pasuk Yud Beis, Sababuni ki devorim, and they encircled me like bees. Dakuk esh kotzim, and they were extinguished like the fire of a thorn. B'shem Hashem ki amalim, in the name of Hashem, I will cut them off. So, what do bees do? How many times in a bee's life does it sting? Bee stings one time, and then it dies. David HaMelech's enemies, and the enemies of Klal Yisrael throughout history, are so dedicated to being our enemies that they're willing to devote and to even give up their life in return for being our enemy. Like the bee. The bee doesn't think about, oh, I'm going to go sting now. Well, that's it for you. So the bees don't like to sting unless they have to. Our enemies would come like bees. It's crazy. It doesn't matter that I'm going to die. I have to oppose David HaMelech. We have to oppose the Jewish people even though we're suffering because of it. Take a look back through history. Every nation that has welcomed in the Jewish people has prospered because of it. Every nation that has not welcomed in the Jewish people or has kicked them out, right, suffered because of it. Yet, that didn't deter these people, nations one bit. They're so dedicated to being the enemies of Klal Yisrael, and David HaMelech's enemies are so dedicated to the idea of being his enemy that they're like bees. They're willing to give their lives. However, there's another deeper meaning to bees. Bees go and they gather their nectar and they
bring it back to the hive and they do the stuff. And all the time is a beekeeper. Do the bees know anything about the beekeeper? No. The bees think they're just gathering nectar because they feel like it. They have no idea that a beekeeper is really orchestrating all these things. Says Zevon HaMelech, all these people that come against Klal Yisrael, they think they act on their own volition. They think everything they do is of their own mind. They don't even understand there's a beekeeper. And they can swarm around and sting all they want, but the beekeeper's really in charge of things. So they're like bees. They're willing to do everything, but they think they're doing it of their own volition. And the truth is, everything is up to Hashem. Looking back to Zevon HaMelech, Dacho dechisani linpo v'Hashem azaran. You pushed me to fall, you my enemies, but Hashem helped me. There's many different explanations to what Dovid HaMelech is referring to here, but when Shaul HaMelech came to him and Dovid found him in the cave, Dovid HaMelech had the opportunity to kill Shaul HaMelech, and he didn't. And Chazal tells us, this is the pasuk, this is what Dovid HaMelech said as he was standing over Shaul HaMelech. He said to Shaul, Dacho dechisani linpo, you pushed me to fall. Hashem Azarani, but Hashem helped him. And he left. Without killing Shaul. Aziv Razim Raskar Vahili Yeshua. The might and cutting power of Hashem was my salvation. That should sound familiar. That is the pasuk from Chumash, right before Az Yashir. Aziv Razim Raskar Vahili Yeshua. Kol Rina Vishua V'ole Tadikim Yamin Hashem Hosechayel. A voice of singing praises and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord deals valiantly. Let's go on the next page, verse 16, because the two go together. Yamin Hashem Romema, Yamin Hashem Osachai. So if we read these two verses together, a voice of praises and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of Hashem deals valiantly, and the right hand of Hashem is exalted, and the right hand of Hashem deals valiantly. Chazal tell us that these are the verses that tzaddikim will say when Mashiach comes. These two verses. The tzaddikim will say, Kol rina v'yishua b'ale tzaddikim yamin Hashem osachayel, and they'll continue, yamin Hashem romema, yamin Hashem osachayel. Those are the two verses that tzaddikim will say. That will be their comment on the coming of Mashiach. There's an awful lot of right hands in here. The Medrash says that the right hand of Hashem is the hand that he used to create Shemayim. And that Shemayim and all of the pure ruchlius of Shemayim was created with Hashem's right hand. When Mashiach comes, the tzaddikim will understand that, will say what? They'll say, Kol rina v'shua b'alei tzaddikim. There'll be a voice of singing in our tents, Yamin Hashem osachayel, the right hand of Hashem has dealt strongly. Yamin Hashem romema, the right hand of Hashem, meaning everything that Hashem created in Shemayim is exalted, Yamin Hashem osachayel, and everything that Hashem made is osachayel. I shall not die, but I shall live and tell of the deeds of Hashem. Now, David HaMelech is really not in charge of whether he lives or dies. He's not talking about literally dying. A person who's a Rasha and doesn't have any connection to Hashem, it's like he's dead in this world. Says David HaMelech, I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to be like a dead person. I'm going to tell everybody about Hashem. Hashem has chastised me, but he's not delivered me to death. Chastise me. Now, the word chastise here is yisrani, like yisurim. A better translation will be, God has given me difficulties, but he's not delivered me to death. What is the point of the difficulties that Hashem gives us? What is the point of Yisurim? When a person has Yisurim difficulties, the point is that Hashem is giving the person those Yisurim in order to help that person develop and grow. So David HaMelech is saying, Yisurim are not a punishment. It's like you're being killed. Yasur Yisuranika, Hashem gives you Yisurim. Well, the Mavis let us say, doesn't kill you. He's giving me Yisurim to help me grow along. Open up for me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter them and thank Hashem. Now, this is also a famous pasuk And it seems very nice, but if we look at it carefully, it's a little bit strange, because peace kuli shari tzedek. Open up the gates for me, please. Well, if you deserve it, the gates will be opened. And if you don't deserve it, they won't. Why is he asking Hashem, so to speak, please, I'm asking for, please, extra favor to let me in? Well, you deserve it or you don't deserve it. You don't beg Hashem to let you in, and that's how you get in. So Chazal tells us that what David HaMelech is referring to is a person who really wants to become close to Hashem. Closed door is nothing. He comes to a closed door, metaphorically speaking. He reaches a plateau or a certain point in his life, in his development. He doesn't stop. A person who wants to become close to Hashem is never satisfied enough to stop their growth and development. Okay, I'm X years old. I've done this, I've done that, and I've accomplished this. Okay, I'm at a door now. That's fine. Says David HaMelech, no, I'm at a door. Peace, kuli. Oh, help me open that door. I want to go further. Sharei tzedek, blah, blah, blah. The gates of righteousness. As far as I know, there's one Shemayim and one Hashem, so why are there multiple gates? Sharei tzedek is plural. I was wondering, you see a lot of, not just in this town, but a lot of shuls and organizations, the name Sharei tzedek. So I always joke with them when I go over there, which gate should I go in? Because it should be Shar tzedek. The gate of righteousness. But Shari said it, there's multiple gates.
Different levels.
So it's a beautiful medrash, like what you're saying. When a person gets a Shemayim, the Malachim will ask you a question. And the question will be, what mitzvah did you really work on in your life? What mitzvah did you excel at? So the medrash gives different examples. A person might say, you know what, I always fed people who were hungry. So the Malach will call out, attention, this is the gate for people who fed the hungry. Please go right into the Shemayim through this gate. And the next person might say, I always give clothes to poor people. So a person like, aha, this is the gate for people who did such a great mitzvah. Please go in. So what David HaMelech wants is to get there and say, none, I gave everything to all mitzvahs. In which case the Malachim will fling open every gate. And those will be the Tzaret Tzedek. Now, what is the meaning of this medrash? The meaning of this medrash is that a mitzvah is a mitzvah. They are not ranked and ordered and prioritized for us, that we know which mitzvah is more important than the other. It's true, we have certain halachos about different things that take priority, but we don't really understand or have a way of knowing what mitzvah is the one that gets you into what gate. Our job is to do all the mitzvahs. David said, I don't want to do a mitzvah just because I want to get into the gate for people who did tzedakah. But I want to really get into people who learned a lot of Torah. I want Sharei Tzedek. I want all the gates. I want every mitzvah I can find. I want the Sharei Tzedek. And if the doors close, is that what I'm about? Peacefully, Sharei Tzedek. Help me open it up. Ovevam, and I will enter them, and then Odeka. I'll thank Hashem for helping me get through the door. Zeh Shar LaHashem Tzadikim Yavovu. This is the gate of Hashem, and the righteous will enter it. So it could be that's a continuation. And it could be the David HaMelech is saying, there's a special gate that I want to get in for people who concentrated on all the mitzvahs. It's also possible the special gate, Zeh Ashar LaHashem, is talking about the gate of the Beis HaMikdash. But in terms of David HaMelech's idea that there's a special sort of gate, the Shari Tzedek, that encompasses all the other gates, there's a Medrash that talks about that. The Medrash in the Talmud says as follows. Alexander the Great was on his conquest of the world. And as we know, he conquered virtually the whole known world. And at one point he came upon a certain stream, and it was bad tasting, and he ate some fish, and it was good tasting, and somehow he figured out this taste, this fragrance of this stream, this must be the stream that leads to Gan Eden. So he followed this stream for months, and finally it ended in a gate. And it was a big gate. Alexander the Great, the conqueror of the entire world. What's one more gate? So the Medrash says he demanded, let me into this gate. Says the Medrash, a voice came out, a bas kol, a voice from heaven came out and said, Zeh Hashar LaHashem, Tzadikim Yavovu. No. This gate is for Hashem's, only Tzadikim can enter. Alexander the Great had a chashbin. I've conquered the entire world. I should be allowed to get into that gate. I'm sorry. No matter what you do in this world, he said, no matter how much of it you conquer, your husband is your husband. But there's a gate that I'm in charge of, said Hashem, and that gate only to be can come into. Zeh Shar La Hashem. That's the gate David HaMelech wants. He wants the Shar Hashem, right? He wants the Shar Shemayim for people who did everything they possibly could. Alexander the Great thought he was entitled to it because he conquered the world. But conquering the world is not what gets you through that gate, says David HaMelech. Conquering mitzvahs is what gets you through that gate. I shall thank you because you answered me and you were my salvation. Now look at the word anisani. It could really mean two different things. Answered, as it's translated here, or anisani could be suffered me, like an oni, a poor person. The word can be translated either way. So here it's translated, I thank you because you answered me and you were my salvation. David HaMelech also meant, I thank you because you afflicted me. David HaMelech had afflictions. We talked about he was bedridden to the point where he couldn't move. He had such yisurim that just describing them would bring a person to tears. And David HaMelech says, thank you, Hashem. I'm glad you gave me those because you were my salvation by giving me those yisurim. Now he's going to turn his attention a little bit to that end of time that we're talking about. And he says, Evan Masu Abayni, Paisa La Rosh Pina. The stone the builders rejected became the cornerstone. What's the stone that the builders rejected referring to?
The town.
Jewish people. The Jewish people are responsible for upholding the whole world. The world was created for the Torah.
The stone represents the Jewish people.
Yes, and the builder, the rest of the world, rejected it. It's the cornerstone. Everything is built upon the fact that the world has to have Torah. The Torah was given to us. We're the cornerstone of the entire world. And the rest of the nations don't even recognize that. Not only that, but David HaMelech personally had that experience. When Shmuel HaNavi came to pick which of the brothers of David would be the next king, they didn't even call in David because it was impossible they could be referring to this David guy. Spends all of his days out in the field with the sheep. So he called all the other brothers except David. The cornerstone of Mashiach was rejected by his own father as impossible to fit the bill. People don't see the cornerstone of the world. But that cornerstone eventually comes into its own. This was from Hashem, say, it's wondrous in our eyes. Shmuel anointed David HaMelech from all the brothers, and a bas kol came out and said, this one shall be king. And it was wondrous in everyone's eyes, because it came straight from Hashem. Zeh hayom asah Hashem, we'll look back, this is the day that Hashem made, nagila v'nismach avo. We'll exult and we'll rejoice in it. It'll be clear for everyone to see. In the times of Mashiach, every person, from the lowliest person on the street corner to the most exalted king, will equally see Zeh Hayom Asah Hashem. That this is the day in Hashem did it. Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. Please Hashem, save us now. Please Hashem. Make us successful now. So, Ana Hashem Hoshia, save us, means save us from negative influences. Save us from falling to temptation. V'hatzlichana, and make us successful, means rise us up and help us grow in Ruchnius. In order to grow and succeed, a person has to both get rid of the negative influences and increase the positive influences. So says David HaMelech, Ana Hashem, save us, Hoshiana. Ana Hashem, please Hashem, Atzlichana, make us successful. Do both. Take away any negative temptations and make us successful. Baruch haba b'shem Hashem. Blessed be he who has come in the name of Hashem. Baruch ayam mibeis Hashem. We have blessed you in the name of Hashem. This pasuk will be said in the future by the Sanhedrin. The people that have strayed from Yiddishkeit, when the coming of Mashiach, when it's obvious that they erred in their ways, they'll return. They'll return to wanting to observe the Torah, and the Sanhedrin, says the Talmud, will say to them, Baruch haba b'shem b'shem, welcome back in the name of Hashem. Baruchim b'beis Hashem, we bless you in the name of Hashem. Now, it says that we've blessed you in the name of Hashem here. If you look in the verse, it actually says, me beis Hashem, bless you in the name of the house of Hashem. So we usually translate it, you know, as a figure of speech, bless you in the name of Hashem, but it really says the house of Hashem. So we'll bless you in the name of the house of Hashem. What is the house of Hashem? The Beis HaMikdash. How do you bless someone in the name of the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash was the center of life. The Kohanim used to go out all the time. Every day from the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim would go out, make sure everyone had a place to eat, make sure everyone had where to stay for Shabbos. They would see all the people that were coming up to be Oleh Regel. They would give them brachas. They would give brachas to people they saw bringing Bikurim. The Kohanim were the first outreach organization ever. They went out from the Beis HaMikdash. There were Kohanim doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. What about the rest of the Kohanim that were on duty? They went out from the Beis HaMikdash, and they went out and they gave brachas to people and encouraged people. When these people come back to Yiddishkeit, the Sanhedrin will tell them, Baruch haba b'shem Hashem. Welcome back in the name of Hashem. And the Kohanim, Nuchem mi-Beis Hashem, will go out from the Beis Hashem, and they will give them a bracha, along with all the other people, returning to see the Beis HaMikdash. Kel Hashem v'yar lanu, Hashem is God, He gave us light, the Yisruchag b'voisam, ad karnos ha-mizbeach. Bind the sacrifice with ropes till the corner of the altar. This is a very complicated pasuk, and we're not going to go into the details. It basically is referring to the fact that sacrifices and things that draw us closer to Hashem, we would like Hashem to increase that and to give us opportunities to come closer to Him like He did with Korbanos. In Chav Ches, in 28, it says, Keli atavi odeka, Elokairo Mecca. You are my God, and I will thank you, the God of my fathers, and I shall exalt you. Finally, in the last pasuk in Chav Ches, it says, Hodu Hashem ki tayv, ki le'olam chaska. The same way we started, give thanks to Hashem because He's good, for His goodness is eternal. Why do we repeat it at the end? David HaMelech has a keen understanding of human psychology. In the beginning, before Mashiach comes, we say, because we believe in it. We're ma'aminim, we're believers in Hashem. After the times of Mashiach, what's to believe? We see it. We look over there and we say, it's not a statement of belief, it's a statement of looking around at what you see. Now we say it because we believe it, and the reward for saying it because we believe it, be this, like the sun comes up, to see it like a fact. This is David HaMelech exulting. He's excited, he's ascending the throne, he's going to do all of these things. Enemies came, doesn't matter, everything's happened. David HaMelech is, we would say in the vernacular today, flying high, he's ready to do anything. And he's projecting that when Klal Yisrael comes in the times of Mashiach, that's how we'll feel. We'll look back. They came on us. They did this. We did it. Is this an encouragement? Is this David HaMelech from the sidelines? Go Jews! In order to get to really the meaning, we have to answer one question. When we say Hallel, the last verses, we repeat each one twice. Why do we do that? The reason we do that is because those verses are the verses that were said when David HaMelech was anointed king by Shmuel HaNavi. And those verses that we say twice at the end, starting from verse 21, when we say Hallel, we repeat each one of those verses. Those verses aren't repeated in the Tehillim. Those are the verses that each one was said separately and by a separate person at the time of the crowning of David HaMelech. And we repeat the verses in order to remind ourselves that not only are these part of Tehillim, but they were actually part of the Jewish experience and event of David HaMelech becoming the king. Next handout is also two pages, and we're going to see exactly, word for word, what was said on the day that Shmuel HaNavi anointed David as king. Everybody have? So we're starting in Pasuk 21, and we're on the page where it says, first says David in Pasuk 21. David said from Pasuk 21, David said, I shall thank you because you answered me for my salvation. Yishai, his father, responded, Evan Masu Haboinim Haisal Rosh Pina. The stone that the builders rejected, my son David, Haisal Rosh Pina is a cornerstone. David's brothers, who did not become king, said, Me'es Hashem Haisa Zais Hinif Las Be'enim. This was from Hashem, it is wondrous in our eyes. They accepted their brother as king. Shmuel Hanavi said, Pasuk 24, Zehayom Asal Hashem Nagila Venismach Abay. This is a great day. For the king that will bring us Mashiach has been anointed. This is the day that Hashem made. We should exult and rejoice. David's brothers began, Pasuk 25, Ana Hashem Hoshiana. And David finished the Pasuk and said, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. Yishai, David's father, said, Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. Blessed be everyone who's come to this event in the name of Hashem. Shmuel Anavi said, Berchnuchem Mibes Hashem. And I bring you from the house of Hashem, the word of Hashem, that this is a bracha indeed. They all said together, Shmuel Anavi, David, David's brothers in Yishai, Kael Hashem V'yar Elanu, the Lord is God, and He gave us light. And Shmuel Anavi finished the pasuk, bind the ropes, bind the sacrifice with ropes to the corners of the altar. David said, Keli ata ve'odeka, you are my God and I shall thank you. And everybody who was gathered said, Elokai aramumeka, the God of my father, I shall exalt you. This is not just verses of encouragement. David HaMelech is telling you this is how it happened. This was the text of the words that were said when Shmuel HaNavi said, David, he's the one. And the bas kol came out from Shemayim and said, he shall be king. And these are the next words that were spoken, in the order they were spoken and by whom they were spoken on that day.
Very powerful.
So, that is very powerful. And therefore the point is, let me ask you a question. When David HaMelech was anointed king, who was the most surprised?
David.
Chazal tell us, first, the father was surprised. Shmuel Hanavi was surprised. Shmuel said, we're out of brothers. Yishai said, well, there is one more. Okay, I don't know what to do. So we brought him over. Shmuel Hanavi said, no, that can't be the guy. Hashem said, that's the guy. Shmuel, you got to be kidding me. That's the guy, the shepherd, the ruddy-looking shepherd. All right, yes, Shmuel Hanavi was pretty surprised. Yishai, the father, was very surprised. I had all my kids out here, and the guy out in the sheep that I didn't think was going to amount to anything turns out to be the king, who is going to be the forerunner of Mashiach. No, but the brothers were certainly surprised. They were all considering which one of them was really, you know, the one to be king. It never occurred to them it was David. Right? Maybe they had different, you know, reckonings of Cheshbon and which one it would be, but they never considered that possibility. They were surprised, but nobody was more surprised than David. 5 minutes ago, he'd been herding sheep. Now, I have to tell you that I have never personally herded sheep, but I have seen many descriptions of it, and it is a really menial job, and filled with a lot of gross responsibilities that we would say today, the kids would say. Right? It's really not what we consider to be a high-status, easy, laid-back kind of job. It's a roll-up-your-sleeves, really kind of menial job.
Isn't that what Moshe did?
It is what Moshe did. 5 minutes earlier, David HaMelech was doing that. Now he's the king of Klal Yisrael. Nobody was more surprised than David. And that's why David is telling you this. Because what David is alluding to is that he had no idea he had it within him to be king. He wanted to become close to Hashem. He spent his life out in the pastures doing that. But he never in a million years imagined that he had it within himself to be the king of Klal Yisrael, whose descendant would be Mashiach. And if you had told him that, if you had come 6 months earlier and said, you know, Rav David, I think you've got what it takes to be king. He laughed at you. I'm a shepherd. I want to be close to Hashem. Fine, if you tell me that hopefully I'll become closer to Hashem in my life, I would take that as a bracha. But to be king, come on, stop it. All right, I got work to do here. All right, let's stop playing around. If you had come to him an hour before and told him that, he said, cut out the joking, I got work to do. It never occurred to him that he had it within himself to be king. I think you see where I'm going with this. At the end of the final redemption, when Mashiach is here, the Jewish people are going to look back, and a big sigh is going to come out, because we weren't really sure we had it in us to make it that far. So then it'll be obvious. Once David HaMelech became king, okay, Hashem says you have it within you. It must be true. What? 5 minutes before Mashiach comes, figuratively speaking, right? 5 minutes before Mashiach comes, still going to be, do we really have within us to do it? People doubt that they have the abilities that Hashem know they have. Says David HaMelech, read what happened with me and my brothers. 1 minute, I'm tending sheep. You think all these pesukim I'm telling you about, the great things that Hashem does, are just me going on and that you will never be shaykh to this? Says David HaMelech, every Jew has within him the ability to be the kind to hold every one of these pesukim. I was a shepherd, the lowest of the low. People wouldn't give me the time of day if they passed me in the street. My own father and brothers, when asked to bring all the kids in the family, didn't even think of me as one of the kids that could become anything. Yet Hashem knew he had it within. The message of this kapitel, as we end Hallel, we end Hallel on a joyous note, we're thanking Hashem for all of the things that he's done. So we're at the end of Hallel, we've been thanking Hashem, and with all the different kapitelot that we've gone over, and Hashem did these nisim for us, and we're thanking him. And what's the very last thing, and the very last pesukim that we say in Hallel when we finish? And remember, we have it within us to do what David HaMelech did, and to be our own David HaMelech. You know, when the Jews were by our Sinai, Chazal tell us that they literally, when they heard Hashem speak, their neshamas literally flew out. They died, and Hashem had to put their neshamas back into them. So you would think to say, why were they so amazed at what they were seeing? Because, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu can talk to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is a great tzaddik. He'll tell us what to do and everything will work out. So why were they so amazed at seeing Hashem talking to us and the Moshe Rabbeinu? They weren't amazed by Moshe Rabbeinu. They were amazed that when Hashem talked to them, each one of them realized their own potential. And the thought of their own potential and what they could each do was so overwhelming they died. Says David HaMelech, and Hashem had to put their neshamas back in. Everybody has it within him. Whatever it takes, the Yisurin, whatever it takes to get to that final moment, whatever David HaMelech had to do to get to that final moment, to sit on that throne, he didn't know he had it within him, but Hashem told him he did. So we don't have Hashem sending a Navi to tell us. Instead, David HaMelech gives us the plans for how to be a Jewish person. And he says, you don't have a Navi to come and tell you that you have it within you. So take my word for it. And if you don't believe me, I'll give you my own personal example. That I was a shepherd. You have it within you to accomplish whatever you need to accomplish to be able to stand at the end of time in Mashiach and look back and say, we did it. That's the end of Hallel message. Thank you, Hashem, and we know we have what it takes to go on. That's what it's saying in this clip. Okay. Questions?
That's beautiful.
Next week, Bez Hashem, we will be starting...